in a family way. And there are a lot of young people out in the world today that's starting a family. And I'll tell you, my friend, there ought to be one thing in that family, and there ought to be Christ. And if you're looking to Christ and seeking His guidance and His favor, brother, they can raise a family. Well, I'll tell me, this week I'm talking to a brother about, he's talking about his children not coming to church, and he said he never made them come to church when they was little. He just let them do as he pleased. And I said, brother, I said, the Bible tells me, it says, bring a child up in the nursery and admonition of the Lord, and when he gets old, he won't depart. And brother, I'll tell you, I told that brother, I said, you fall short of the commandments of God, and brother, I'll take him. And that if the Lord is not in the matter, it's going to be a vain thing. And I'll tell you, brethren, when we do the commandments of God, when we walk in His way, and when we please Him, my brother, I want to tell you, the child of God, we're going to reap what we sow in this life. If we reap, and if we sow in righteousness, we're going to reap in righteousness. If we sow in evil and evil doings, we're going to reap that also. And brother, I'll tell you, except the Lord be in house. Oh, I tell you, they labor in vain. Oh, I tell you, a lot of God's people that are really God's people out in the world, yet binding to the truth, going about establishing their own righteousness, going about trying to do the work of the Lord out here in the world. And I tell you, they're real sincere in it. I can't get over it sometimes how faithful they are to working these things, and how upstanding they are in the community. And no matter how big they are in the thing that they do for the Lord, if the Lord's not in it, it's vain. And brother, I'll tell you, many times in the New Testament we find where a lot of God's people are going about doing vain things, worshiping idols. And brother, I'll tell you, I've been guilty of that, worshiping things in this world. I've been worshiping cars and automobiles and money, and it's a vain thing, child of God. I live it today. I thank God that He blessed me to see something more important than all of the vain things of this world. He taught me to look to Him. He's my precious stone that I look to. He's my Savior. He's my King and my Lord. Brother, I'll tell you, that's more important than all of the things of this world. And I want to get back to this building here, brother. I'll tell you what, if we met out here under a tree, if the Lord was in it, it would be the pleasantest thing in life to have the Lord with us. But I tell you, you come into a building made with hands, and the Lord's not there. And brother, I want to tell you, it's the coldest place you've ever been. And I've been in those places where the Lord, I know, was not in that place. And I felt, didn't feel the presence of the Lord. I want to feel the Lord when I'm in His house. He said, this is my house. He said, I dwell in Zion, and that's where I rest. And brother, whenever the true church of the living God is founded here on the earth, and it's built upon the foundation of the apostles and built on the teachings of Christ. And brother, I'll tell you, where the Lord is there, it's the most peaceable, it's the most loving place, it's the most caring place it is in all of this world. That when Jesus is there, oh, I told my mom, if I could just be a little dormant in the house of God, I'd be satisfied just to be near my Lord and to feel His presence. And brother, I'll tell you, all these little things are vain in the world, and there's nothing out here in the world that can satisfy a little hungry soul. There's not a thing in the world that can give him pleasure when it comes to serving God. You have to serve God in spirit and in truth in order to find these pleasures, in order to have these pleasures. And it says, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. Brother, I'll tell you, the watchman is that God has called to sit on the walls of Zion, they're not waking in vain. They're all the time watching out for the sheep. All the time watching to keep things that would disturb the church. But out in the world, they'll just take in anything. But in the true church of God, before a little child can come to the church, somebody knows him, knows what he is, shows evidence of life, of being a showing evidence of repentance. That's one thing I look for in a little child that's coming to the church, is to see repentance. But you know, the world will take in anything. They don't care. As long as it's got money, they'll take it in. They'll take it in because they need the money to keep the programs going, the Sunday schools are going. The true church of God doesn't need any money because the Lord built it. He owns all the gold of ocean. Owns the cattle on the seven hills. Everything is the Lord. He don't need, he don't require anything. But the world teaches you today, the Lord requires your 10%. If you don't give your 10%, you're going to die and go to hell. I've heard that said many times in my life. Brother, if I felt that way and believed that, I couldn't lay down and sleep at night, wondering where I'd given my equal part. Have I done this in order to gain a seat in heaven? But I'm glad it's by grace. I'm glad that I have to pay nothing to get to heaven. That's what it is. They claim you're paying something to get to go to heaven. But who are you paying it to? Are you paying it to the Lord, or are you paying it to a church? Or somebody in the church? Ministers, most of them out here in the world, they got a nice big home. They own a salary. They take vacations. Rather than you're paying him, you ain't paying the Lord. The way you pay the Lord is through service. You pay the Lord by praise and honor and glory. That's what God requires of his people. He don't require any money from them. He does require your time and your effort to put forth to serve him. That's why he said your labor is not in vain. Brothers, whenever we serve God, when we walk in his likeness, walk in his ways, the scripture tells us we'll eat the good of the land. Our land? No, his land. The promised land. The church. The kingdom. Brother, I believe I've sat down with the saints of God many times in the kingdom of our Lord and enjoy a rich meal that men didn't buy, that men didn't furnish. I believe that if a little child of God is to eat in the kingdom, he must be fed of the Lord. That manna from on high, it has to come down from on high. It didn't come up from the earth from man, but it comes from God. Brother, and I enjoy eating in the kingdom. I enjoy drinking from the fountain that flows freely in the kingdom. That fountain of living water is Christ. When we eat in fellowship with him, brother, I'll tell you, we're living in a heaven on earth. But brother, if you don't, and if you be a disobedient, as a little child of God, many times when I was growing up, I was disobedient to my mom and my dad. And brother, I'll tell you, I took the licks for it. The same way with serving the Lord. You can be disobedient and you can suffer the consequences. You can take the whipping from the Lord. And brother, these from the Lord hurt much worse than those in a physical way. When the Lord withdraws his spirit from you, and you're left cold and desolated in this world, as in the land of Judea, Jerusalem, when the Lord said he would take away from them all that they had, and they would be a desolated city. Brethren, how would it be to come to the church of the living God, this Jerusalem today, and the Spirit of the Lord not be here? Nothing to eat, nothing to drink. It would be a cold, desolated place. But I'll tell you, my brethren, if we walk, if we do what the Lord's commanded us to do, he'll bless us. He'll give us that which we stand in need of. He'll pour out a blessing from on high that sometimes we can't even comprehend, can't even receive it all. Brother, I'll tell you, it's a sweet thing to enjoy the fellowship with our Lord. There's nothing greater. I enjoy being with my wife and my family. But when it comes to serving the Lord, I must set them aside and serve the Lord. There will be times that I've left my wife and went and preached somewhere else. I'd like for her to go with me, and she does most of the time go with me. And I appreciate it. But when it comes to serving the Lord, the Bible says we must forsake father, mother, children, wives, and all, and follow Christ. And brothers, when we do, oh, I tell you, our rewards are great. for our service of the Lord, we can have so much pleasure in serving God. I didn't know that there was this kind of pleasure in serving God. I knew there's a lot of pleasure in the world serving the lust of the flesh, going to the beaches and to the mountains and lounging around on the days off. That is fine to the flesh. But brother, what is it satisfying to the spirit? It's serving God. The most satisfying time that I can have with my Lord is when I'm standing in the church of the living God and proclaiming His gospel, declaring His counsel, and talking about my Lord, how good He is, how great He is, how marvelous He is. Brother, I'll tell you, that's a joyful time in the kingdom of our God. And when God is blessing a little minister to preach the gospel, and He's opened the ears of the little children to receive it, brother, I'll tell you, like I said, this is a heaven on earth. There can never be nothing no better in this life, but I'll tell you, there's a coming a day, child, when this is going to be put down, and we're going to that heaven, that took yonder in heaven, up in the sky to be with our Lord. And brother, we're just getting a little taste out here, but on that glorious day, when we'll stand before our God and sing praises unto the Lamb, what a glorious time that's going to be when we'll sing the praises of the Savior, the one that came to earth and took upon Him the body of flesh there and went there to the cross and died in our sins. Oh, Matthew 1:21, for she shall bring forth the Son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins, brethren. And I believe that He did with all of my heart, and I believe that if I'm a little child of God, that one day I'm going to be with Him in heaven's pure world, and I'm going to sing praising unto Him, and this old body of mine is going to be fashioned to the glorious image of our Savior Jesus Christ. It's going to be a spiritual body. And brother, I've heard men say that when they get to heaven, they're going to find their mother and their father and their grandmother or their wives or children, and they're going to shake hands with them and hug them, brother. I'll tell you, they got a misconception of what heaven's going to be, because I don't want to see my mother and my father there in the way that I know them here. I want to see them as being the children of God. I want to see them in the body of a spiritual body. I don't want to go there and remember all the pain and cold and heartaches and the death that come about us in this life. But I want to see Jesus as He is high and exalted. I want to see the brethren and sisters in Christ as being the little children of God. And brother, I'll tell you, what a sweet place that's going to be one glorious day when we'll be with the Lord. Brother, I'll tell you, there's no sweeter time than to stand and talk about the Lord in His kingdom, because this is the place where He dwells. He dwells not in a building not made with hands. Over there, I believe it's in Romans 8, generally talking about the church of the living God as being fitly, jointly together. Brother, now I'll tell you, we're knitted in the body of Christ, because Christ is the body of the church. He's the head of the church, and in Him there is life. And I'll tell you, brother, when we are in the church of the living God, and we there, that we're joined heirs with Christ. And I'll tell you, brethren, we're knitted together. We're a close-knit family. I know that I have many in my family, and we are very close-knit. But I want to tell you, the family of God, I have a special feeling toward them, because they are my brothers and sisters. In Christ, we all have the same Father. And brother, that draws us closer to Him. We're in Christ, and we're joined heirs with Him and our Father, which is in heaven, a child of God. I tell you, He looks upon us through His Son, not the eyes, because the body, the Bible says, that all flesh is sin in the sight of God. Brother, how does He look upon us? He looks at us through Christ, His beloved Son. And we're sin-free before Him. Our sins have been washed white as snow. Brother, aren't you glad today that this building that we're serving God in is not made with hands, and it's not in vain. Our labors are rewarded, and we're being called a blessed nation. For He says we are a peculiar people, a zealous of good works. And brother, I believe that if we continue to walk and worship God in the Spirit and in truth, that we're going to have those works of righteousness for His name's sake. And brother, I'll tell you, they bring to mind all these labors labors that we do, it's not in vain. The Bible tells us, over there it says, that if God be for us, who can be against us? And brother, I'll tell you, whenever we put the Lord first, when we call upon Him, and He's our number one, when we look to Him, whenever we're down in the valleys of life, when we're walking through in the shadows of tribulations here in this life, when we look to Him, brother, and call upon Him, there's no one else in this world that can be against us. There's nothing in this world that can be against us. Paul says, for I'm persuaded that God loves us, that nothing can be against us, neither height nor depth nor principality, none of these things can be against us. But I tell you, our labors are not in vain. I love to work in the kingdom, and I hope you do too. And I want to assure you this morning, child of God, that what you do concerning the praise and honor and the glory of God, it won't be forgotten. You know, many times out here in the world, I've seen it happen in the other church organizations, what they call men get out there and they do great labors of work, but then they get old and can't they're all, and then the church turns them out because they can't fulfill that anymore. If they don't do their tithing, and if they can't do this, they're not able to do that, they throw them out. I want to tell you, child of God, in the true kingdom of our God, let not your labors be in vain. I tell you, whenever you get where you can't serve God in the church, you can serve Him at home, and you can serve Him in your heart. My child of God, we serve God more in our heart than we do in His kingdom. We only spend a little time here in this church building, but I'll tell you, that church is in the heart, and when we serve Him, we must serve Him from the heart. There in Jeremiah says, I said a lot of them worship Me with their tongues, but not with their heart. Brother, there's a lot of tongue worshiping going on in the world today. There's a lot of it in vain out here in the world. Tongue worship, and I tell you, there's a lot of it says that be not a hearer of the word, but also a doer of the word. I tell you, I've heard men say, let's do all this and do all that. But when the time comes, you don't find them there doing it. They just hear it and say it. Brother, we ought to be not only a hearer of the word, we ought to be a doer of the word. We ought to live what we are. I believe, child of God. I tell you, brother, now. I told my wife one time, way back there, I said, I said, your husband, he believes what he preached. Brother, I do, and I want to live it to the fullest. Whatever I believe, I want to do it. If I believe that God is sovereign on His way, I want to believe that, I want to do that, and I don't believe it by works of my righteousness, that I'm saved, a child of God eternally, and I'm not crying out here to do righteous works that I might live and go to heaven, but I want to tell you, I labor hard in the kingdom of our God to serve Him, because He's called me as a servant, and He's called you a little servant of God. Every heir promise has been called into this kingdom to serve Him, the true and living God, and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the Bible says in spirit and in truth. And brother, I've seen a lot of people claim they have the spirit, but it's not the truth. I had a woman tell me here a while back, she was going to another organization, and she said, they have the spirit. I said, yeah, they might have, but it's not in the spirit of God, and they're not giving God all of the praise. Brother, where the spirit of the Lord is, there He demands all the praise. He said, I'll not share my glory with anyone. And brother, He'll not do it. He'll have His way. He said He works His way in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And who can stay His hand or say, what doest thou? Brother, I want to tell you, God's going to get all of the glory and all of the praise and honor. And brother, it ought to be our lifelong thing is to serve Him in spirit and in truth and to worship Him. And I'll tell you, brother, I've stopped and thought about this many times. What little I've done, but how great and what He's done for me. I've done so little to serve Him, to praise Him, to what He's done for me. Sometimes it causes tears to come in my eyes to think about my Lord taking the sins upon His shoulders of all of His children, all of His family, took them there to the cross and died in my stead. That I might have to go to the cross and suffer. That I might have to go and shed my life, but He done it for me. Brothers, have we done enough to serve the Lord? Are we serving Him as we should? Are we praising Him as we should? Are we glorifying His name? Let us lift the name. Oh, by the way, Lord, also take the name of Jesus with you everywhere you go. Brother, let your mind be upon the Lord. Let it be upon the great I Am. He is God, Jehovah. He's the greatest. He's always been and always will be. And we're nothing but the sheep of His pasture. Lord, He looks after us so good. He feeds us so good. He waters us so good. We ought to be very thankful. We ought to be down on our knees every day thanking Him for the greatness and the love that He has for us. And oh, if my little effort would just bring just a little honor and praise to Him, I'll be pleased with that. But I'll tell you, I'm not satisfied with what I did. I want to do more, if I can, to serve God. And that's what ought to be your aim in life, is to serve God to the utmost for what He's done for you. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Let us build a house of God in labor of love. And the labor that would be God-honoring. A lot of God's people out in the world today are laboring, but it's not for the God-honoring. They're honoring men. It's a vain thing. Brother, let us watch what we're doing. Let us walk the old path. Let us walk the straight and narrow way that leadeth unto righteousness. For many there is follow the ways of destruction, that old broad way. But He left us a path, a way, and a light to walk by. We don't walk in darkness. Jesus says, I am the light. We follow Him. We'll give Him praise, honor, and glory. And our labor will be in vain. May God bless you in our prayer at this point. Thank you for the time of attention. The doors of the church are open. We set some members of faith. One or more here that wants to follow in the footsteps of the Lord. He gave us an example to do. He says, take up thy cross daily and follow me. Go down into the baptism of water. It doesn't give you eternal life, but it renews your conscience toward God. And then when you come up out of that water, you have the gift of the Holy Ghost. God, I'm glad that I have that gift of the Holy Ghost in my heart. That gift of peace and joy that I know that I'm serving the Lord. And it's not a vain thing to come to the church. People say, why do we need to go to the church? Can't we just go to the church and sit down and listen to the preacher and then get up and go home? And a lot of God's people do that. But there's a lot of them that sacrifice things in this world to serve God. They go down in that water baptism. They make a covenant with God, promising Him that they serve Him. He made a covenant with the house of Israel. He says, in that day I will write in their my laws in their minds and their hearts, and they shall be to me a people, and I shall be to them a God. If He was gracious enough to make a covenant with us for eternal life, we ought to be gracious to make a covenant with Him to serve Him while we live here in this life. May the Lord bless you. In our prayer. Do you have a song, brother?
199.
I feel that it's a privilege of God's people to serve Him. Not everybody knows the truth. There are a lot of people, God's people in the world today, that are blinded to the truth. And if God has so graciously given you that spirit to know the truth and to see the truth, then you have a duty to serve Him. 199.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth. Oh, my God. Round your gas.